Mark chapter 6, and we're going to be continuing in getting prepped to kind of walk into 1 Peter, but we're looking a little bit about the author and kind of some of the events of his life to help us get a even better picture when he writes to us in 1 Peter where that's coming from. And so today is kind of a fun message, I think. I hope that you'll enjoy thinking about this idea. I hope it won't be too scary for you, but I want to ask you, will you get out of the boat? You get out of the boat. We're going to look at Peter's life and hopefully be encouraged to do just that. Let's look in Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 52 to get started. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, that being Jesus. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and he said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. I love that verse 51, end of verse 51. They wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Have you ever been tested? Anybody here ever been tested? Have your parents ever tried to test you in a certain way? Or maybe a friend or something like that? Well, today we're going to look at how the disciples, and especially Peter, were tested of the Lord, and how that we need to recognize when the Lord does that in our life, and hopefully we can respond and pass the test. So to get you in the frame of mind of testing, I thought this was pretty good to get us started. The setting is the Ohio State University. It's about, 10 or 12 years ago, in a huge lecture hall. There were approximately 1,000 students for a calculus final. Could you imagine being part of a class of 1,000, right? And so apparently this particular calculus teacher wasn't very well liked. He was one of those guys who would stand at the front of the class, and he would yell out how much time was remaining before the end of the test. He was a real charmer. Since he was so busy gallivanting around the room, making sure that nobody cheated and that everyone was aware how much time they had left before their failure on the test was complete, he had the students stack the completed tests on the huge podium at the front of the room. And this made for quite a mess. Remember, there's 1,000 students in the class. Well, during this particular final, one guy entered the test needing a decent grade to pass the class. His only problem with calculus was that he did poorly when rushed. And this guy standing in the front of the room barking out how much time was left before the test had to be handed in didn't help him at all. He figured he wanted to assure himself of a good grade, so he hardly flinched when the professor said, Pencils down and submit your Scantron sheets and work to piles at the front of the room. 5 minutes turned into 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 40. Almost an hour after the test was officially over, our friend finally put down his pencil, he gathered up his work, and he headed to the front of the hall to submit his final. Well, the whole time, the professor sat at the front of the room, strangely waiting for the student to complete his exam. What do you think you're doing? The professor asked as the student stood in front of him, about to put down his exam on one of the neatly stacked piles of exams. The professor had plenty of time to stack the mountain of papers while he waited. It was clear that the professor had waited only to give the student a hard time. Turning in my exam, retorted the student confidently. I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, the professor gloated. Your exam is an hour late. You failed it, and consequently, I'll see you next term when you repeat my course. Well, the student smiled slyly, and he asked the professor, Do you know who I am? What? Replied the professor gruffly, annoyed that the student showed no sign of emotion. The student rephrased the question mockingly, Do you know what my name is? No, snarled the professor. The student looked the professor dead in the eyes and said slowly, I didn't think so, as he lifted up one of the stacks halfway, shoved his test neatly into the center of the stack, and let the stack fall, bearing his test in the middle, turned around and walked casually out of the huge lecture hall. So there's no way the teacher could figure out which one not to grade, right? A test. Have you ever felt like you've been tested? Sometimes we feel that way spiritually, don't we? Like, oh, why is this going on this way? Or why do I keep facing the same battle? And I want to encourage you today that sometimes the Lord is putting those things in our way for our strengthening and to develop us. But there's some principles we want to take from this passage in Mark to help us deal with these types of character building challenges, if you will. Look back, if you would, at Mark 6:45. The first thing I want you to see this morning is things are done in His time. Excuse me. In His time. So in verse 45, the scripture says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up on the mountainside to pray. So John tells us here there are 5,000 people who had just eaten, and they want to make Jesus king, but Jesus has got a different plan. Let's look in John just for a moment. John chapter 6, verse 13. And John writes, he said, therefore they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves, barley loaves, which remained over and above that they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is the truth that a prophet should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. Now here's the issue. I think you guys see this over and over. The disciples and the people right around the disciples of Jesus, what they were looking for at this time, they're still looking for a physical kingdom. They're still looking for a Messiah who would be the prophet king, who would come and set them free from Rome. He would set up a kingdom that would be like no other. And so they thought, well, they've seen this miracle. And you can kind of imagine it, right? I mean, if you'd been in a place where some little boy brought in a lunch, and the next thing you know, there's 12 basketfuls of stuff left over, and this guy over here is the guy that did it, you would be like, whoa, maybe this is him, right? And so they were ready to make Him, pronounce Him king. But what I want you to be reminded of is that the Lord does things in His timing. Are you hearing me? That's a hard lesson sometimes, isn't it? Okay, maybe it's a job. For me, when it was coming through the church plant, and then there for a while, we were like in limbo, like, Lord, I don't even know what we're going to do. There was a lot of questioning about the Lord's timing there. Maybe for you, it's been a job or a relationship, or maybe it's been a health issue. Sometimes you wonder, like, Lord, why aren't you doing this, fixing this in my time, right? And so what we learn right away as we study the scriptures and reminded of today is the Lord does things in His time. We have to learn to trust His timing. So Jesus, instead of allowing Himself to be made king, He actually goes up to pray. And maybe He's praying even for His disciples' understanding or maybe their patience, and maybe just praying for the people that wanted to make Him king. Again, notice Jesus does things in His timing. The disciples wanted to rest. Jesus said, we're not going to rest. We're going to feed 5,000 people. The 5,000 people want Jesus to be king, and He goes up onto a mountainside to pray. He will accomplish His Father's will in the right time, and we should seek patiently to do the same. Another way to word it here is don't rush into it. Don't drag your feet. Seek the Lord's will for His timing. Don't rush into it. Don't drag your feet. Seek the Lord's will for His timing. So here's what happens. Jesus is beginning to put His disciples to the test. They're going to have a great opportunity to increase their knowledge of Him. But what I want to tell you is what you'll see here in just a moment is they missed the miracle. That's what the scripture says. It doesn't mean that they didn't see it. They weren't participating. They missed the meaning of the loaves and the fishes. And we'll look at that here in just a little bit because they were too wrapped up in what they thought should happen in their time. And so I'm reminding you again this morning, sometimes God allows things to be put in our path that we may walk closer and cling tighter to the King. Today, if you'll allow yourself to realize that, sometimes you go through the difficult things, sometimes the waiting is a lot longer than you thought, because God is trying to pull you closer to Him. So again, the question would be this morning is, how is your relationship with the Lord? Are you walking tight with Him, or has it been a while? Have you called out on Him recently, even today? Have you been seeking His face? Or has it been a while? The Lord would use tests in our lives to draw us to Him. Let's look at actually facing the test. So we're going to go back over to Mark in chapter 6 and verse 47. And the scripture says, and when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on the land. And He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He went out to them walking on the lake. And He was about to pass by them when they saw Him walking on the lake. And they thought He was a ghost. And they cried out because they were all terrified. So So you guys got to get the scenario here. The disciples are exhausted, okay? They are ready when Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching some more. They were ready to send everybody home, go crash, and get some rest. Instead, Jesus said, no, we're going to feed all these people. And again, it's kind of an interesting reminder that sometimes we're called to serve even when we don't feel like we have the energy to serve. We have to trust the Lord to lead us in that. And so that's what they did. Well, then when they were ready to do this wonderful, after the miracle, everybody had some adrenaline pumping, then Jesus goes off into isolation, right? And he sets them up for this time of testing. So the disciples are all alone, and Jesus sends them out on a ship. Excuse me, they're going across the lake. And if you read John chapter 6, you'll see they were about 3.5 miles across the lake. That's still a pretty good distance in a boat. Okay, that probably took quite a bit of time to get 3.5 miles across the lake at this time. Well, there was, of course, you know how sailors are in superstition, right? They really have them. And so there was a lot of superstition that spirits came in the night and they brought great trouble. Jesus here, or the scripture here says that it was about the fourth watch of the night. So if you're doing your watches, you go from like 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's watch one. 9 p.m. to midnight, watch two. Midnight to 3 a.m. be watch three. So 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. was it be the fourth watch of the night. So they are not only have they been exhausted trying to help serve all these people, and now they're trying to get somewhere, and they've been rowing like all night long. Okay? So here's a good lesson for you too today. A lot of times the Lord tests you when you're tired. I don't like that. I don't do well when I'm tired. I am struggling today. I know you can tell that, right? I'm like, oh, exhausted. And yet sometimes that's when the Lord tests us. That's when we need to rely on the Lord's strength the most, is when we're the weakest, right? And so here are the guys. They're out on the ship. They're rowing. They're not getting anywhere. And then all of a sudden the scripture says that they see somebody coming on the water. So here is the test. These guys, the disciples in the boat, were supposed to know that God would provide their needs through Christ. They were supposed to see that Jesus was truly the Son of God. They were supposed to be seeking the Lord in tough times. They were supposed to recognize their master when he came to help them. They were supposed to believe. You're tempted, you're tired, you're hungry, you're frustrated, you're not able to get where you're trying to go. And yet what the Lord reminds us over and over again was, would you believe in me? Will you trust me? Will you come to me? So today I'd ask you again, have you faced any tests lately? One way of looking at it is Sunday morning is kind of the seminar or the classroom, but the real test comes in the real world throughout the week. How are you doing? Are you learning from the Master? Well, let's look at chapter 6 of Mark, verse 50. Let's learn from Jesus and see what he says. And the scripture says, immediately he spoke to them and he said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And so Jesus sees and knows the fears of his disciples and compassionately says to them, don't worry, I am here. And it's at this point where we're going to kind of get into our thoughts here today about Peter. If you want to, you can turn over your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. What would be going on in your mind? That's where we're at. So look in verse 28, chapter 14. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you Now here is my favorite quote for the day, I think. Peter may have little faith, but at least he has a little. Hello. How many of you get out of the boat and how many of you are staying in the boat? You know what we're saying, right? You're in the boat is just like probably shaking really pretty good. You're exhausted, but now you're scared and you're running on empty and fumes and frustrated and angry and unsure and all this stuff is going on at the same time. And then the Lord comes to you and he says he's the Lord and you're like, am I really seeing this? What's going on? I'm not used to seeing anybody walk on the water. How many of you are getting out of the boat? How many of you are saying, I have to stay right here in my nice little snug position. This is where I feel comfortable, right? This is incredible to me that Peter would do this. Peter calls to get permission from the Lord, and he receives it. He gets out of the boat in the middle of the storm. And as far as I know, Peter is the only other person besides Jesus to ever walk on water. Right? See, we like to be critical, don't we? Oh, that Peter, he's just so tempestuous. Look at him just jumping out there, and he's going to fail. Why would he do that? Peter got out of the boat. He's the only other person to ever walk on the water. Why? Because he had enough faith to step out. And of course, Peter was fine until what happened? Until he started looking at his circumstances, and he started looking away from his Lord. He cries out in faith, and the Lord rescues him. Of course, at the same time, the Lord rebukes him. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, here's what I want you to think about with me today. If Peter had little faith, then what about the rest of the guys in the boat? Where would you have been in the boat or on the water? And so I started trying to imagine some of the other guys in the boat, all right? For example, Thomas. How would you imagine Thomas? Thomas would probably say something like this. Yeah, I knew that Peter wouldn't last long. I knew he was going to go sinking, right? There's no way he could do that for very long. Are there people like that in church? Oh, they wanted to try that. That was so dumb. Why would they try that? I knew that would fail. You know what I'm talking about? Right? That would be Thomas' perspective. Well, somebody else in the boat might have said how foolish it was for him to get out of the boat. Why did he stay in the boat where he'd always been before? Well, that would be doing something different. We don't do things different. You think? There's probably somebody of that personality type in the boat, yeah. Don't you know, doing things different always gets us in trouble. There was probably some people in the boat, and I think there's same people like this in church sometimes. They would have secretly wished they had the guts to get out of the boat. Man, I can't believe Peter did that. I wish I would have had the courage to do that. Oh. I wish I would have tried. And then there would have been those that have been jealous that Peter had actually walked on water. How come it's Peter that gets to do this? Why isn't it me? And one of them most certainly would have thought, if I had gotten out of the boat, I never would have sank. I would have kept my eyes on Jesus. Right? That's the boat. And so many times that's the church boat, right? Here's what I want to encourage you this week. I want you to get out of the boat. This is a lot of penology here, but you follow along with me today. What is your boat? What is your area of comfort and safety that you're so afraid to step out in faith? Okay. It could be a lot of different things. It could be the ability to witness. Maybe you're just so scared that you won't have the right words to say or the right time to say it. And you need to get out of your boat and go and tell someone about the Lord in your life, in your work, in your family, in your neighborhood. Maybe you need to get out of the boat there. For some of you, it could be financial. It's like maybe the Lord is asking you to give up some things. It's going to cost you to get out of the boat because you don't know how it would all add up, how it's going to work out. But the Lord has been pushing on your heart for a while for you to step out in faith and take this decision, make this choice. But you got to trust him. Get out of the boat. Right? For some of you, maybe it's to take a different kind of position of leadership. Maybe it's to help out with the women's study or a men's group. I don't know what it is, but I would encourage you today that when the Lord is prompting you, that you be bold enough to get out of the boat instead of just waiting inside the boat to see what happens, because that's what we do so many times. Which disciple would you be today? Again, we need to get out of the boat. Will we get out? Will we face our fears in the Lord's name? Will we answer his call to come? The Lord's lesson is really simple here. It's just simply to trust. And again, you're not trusting any man. When you think about it for a second, who is Peter trusting? Peter is trusting the person who made the water, the person who's already demonstrating that he can walk on the water, right? The Lord knows your situation. He already knows your future. It's already history to him. Think about that for a second. Anybody know where you're going to be exactly next Saturday at 2 o'clock? You may have an idea and hope this or that, but to be honest with you, you don't have a clue. But the Lord already knows it. And multiply that down 6 months and a year and 10 years and, for some of you, Lord willing, 50 years. The Lord already knows all that. He's already walked through all that. So it's our job to trust him as he leads us forward in those things. Again, he fed the 5,000. He's walked on the water. Don't hesitate to trust the Lord. Joshua would say it this way: don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so the Master, being Jesus, put his trust in the Father at all times. He teaches us to do the same. Is your faith being tested? Put your trust in the Lord. I'll give you another example about how I think sometimes the Lord works in our lives, and it scares us to death, but it's a test for us to grow in our faith. This is from James Brown. So some years ago, when I was learning to fly, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled, and the plane began to plunge out of control. It also soon became evident that my instructor was not going to help me at all. Excuse me. After a few seconds, which seemed like eternity, my mind began to function again. I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to my instructor and began to vent my fearful frustrations on him. He very calmly said to me, "There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again." And at that moment, God seemed to be saying to me, "Remember this, as you serve me, there is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you will be all right." That lesson has been proven true in my ministry many times over the years. Can you take hold of that today? "Yeah, but preacher, what could happen if I try to? Did the Lord ask you to do it? Well, yeah. Then trust him. He will take care. Get out of the boat. Let's look at the lesson learned in Mark chapter 6, verse 51. The scripture says, "And then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed." Again, look at verse 52. "For they had not understood about the loaves." Everybody hang on to that for a moment. "Their hearts were hardened." Verse 53, "When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was." In verse 56, "And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed." You look at that verse 52. When they get out of the boat, the wind dies down. It says they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. They're a little hard-headed. They're kind of pins. They missed the lesson. Right? Jesus does something wonderful, miraculous among them. All the, you know, the little sack lunch just grows and grows, right? Okay? And they're like, "Oh, this is fantastic. Let's make this guy king. He can set up his kingdom, and we'll all have power and wealth and prosperity again. That's what it's about, right?" And what they missed was he was proving himself to be the very Son of God. And they needed to recognize who he was. And here, after he walked on the water, it all begins to sink in. Next week, when we look at Peter's testimony about Jesus, we're going to see his confession. And we're going to really grab hold of that. They finally get the idea that he is the Messiah, the one who is to come. They missed the point. They should have realized Jesus was the Son of God, able by faith to feed 5,000 hungry men. that he was also able to take care of them in the storm. They were also then able to realize Jesus had not come to set up an earthly kingdom, but to feed them the bread of life. Again, catch that idea, right? It wasn't about the physical bread. It was about the ability to really live. And so Jesus didn't give up on them because they failed the first test. He continued to test them, and they began to understand. Verse 32 in Matthew 14 says this: when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They recognized who he was for that day. They knew Jesus was the Son of God. They just had to learn to trust him. So here we go today. We're going to wrap it up this morning. I want you to think about this a little bit. You know Jesus, right? And what I'm confessing to you today is probably something you've heard 1,000 times. That is, Jesus truly is the Son of God. But I almost guarantee you that most of you today, this week, will face some sort of test where the Lord will put an opportunity in your path for you to trust him and you to grow in your faith. And my question to you today is, are you going to trust him? Are you going to pass the test? And if you're not, or if you're afraid, what are you afraid of? And I want to list out just a few things, so real quickly, things that might be some fears in our life today that we can pray about, that the Lord would help us to overcome those fears. I think some people, they're afraid of speaking out of what the Lord has done in their life because they're just afraid of being name-called, being called a Holy Joe or a fanatic. And I want to encourage you today, do you think Jesus would be ashamed of you, to know you? He wouldn't, would he? Let's not be ashamed in any shape or way or form this week that we are believers in the Son of God, all right? Don't be afraid of that. I think some of us would be afraid of saying the wrong thing when you're hoping to do the right thing. Anybody else here ever stick their foot in their mouth besides me? Right? If we go in the Spirit of the Lord, let's understand that the Lord can correct anything that we're saying if we're obedient in our going. That's a huge thing. He can take and make it right. Just like I'm preaching today, and you may be hearing things completely different than what I'm speaking because the Lord's at work in that. When you're witnessing to someone, the same thing can happen. Maybe you're afraid today that you won't have raised your kids well, and that's a fear on your heart, and you need to step out of the boat in that. Sometimes we're just afraid that we're going to die, or someone we love is going to die. And those fears can overcome us. We want to trust the Lord in those difficult circumstances. Maybe you're afraid a close relationship may unravel if you really step out of the boat. Again, trust the Lord, what he has for you. It's kind of an older song now, but a song that was popular a few years ago. And I just like these words. It's a reminder to us to pursue the Lord in the midst of all the storms and all the troubles and to answer the call in the middle of the test. And the bridge is like this. It says, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." Do you think Peter's faith grew the day that he sank? Yeah. Isn't that interesting how that works? I mean, it took great faith to get out of the boat at the moment he's walking on the water, and then when he sunk and he's like, uh-oh, it's all over, and the Lord rescued him. I think that would only encourage him the next time to know that the Lord would be sweeping him up as he stepped out in faith. And you guys, that's what we've got to do. Individually, corporately as a church and our families, we've got to step out in faith, get out of the boat to magnify the Lord. Let's stand this morning. We appreciate your time and your attention. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's just ask him that he would help us to get out of the boat as he sees fit, not as we see fit, and that to help us in our areas of fear, and that we would pass the test he put before us. Heavenly Father, today we are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for our church family and that they're willing to come out on this rainy, dreary day and to sing your praises and to share and to give. And Lord, to pray for one another. Lord, to listen to your word. And so, Lord, today, I don't know what you've got in store for our church family this week, but I definitely pray so much, Lord, that you will help us to take steps of great faith. Lord, we need to take steps in witnessing, steps in giving, steps in loving and serving. Lord, would you really help us to have eyes that can see? Give us courage to take those steps out of the boat, Lord, and then to trust you and to have you hold our hand as we try to make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would give us courage and discernment and love and fill us with your spirit in a mighty way, Lord, that people would see that you're at work through us, or not that we're doing anything, but that you are. So we pray so much, Lord, that you would act on your behalf in our lives, in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for Peter's example, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to be naysayers or doubters, but to be people that just learn to trust you more and more with each and every passing day. Lord, magnify yourself in us in that way. Lord, we want to say that we love you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray.